So first, Lumpur was asking for permission from the Kruba Ajahns for him to be able to share a little Dhamma advice. And he also extend his blessings to all of you. He said he's very happy and very delighted to see that there are a lot of people here today. Yeah. And also noticed that there are many people from many backgrounds, many different nations, from different countries and different upbringing. And Longpo said that he would like to share a bit of Dhamma, but the Dhamma that he likes to share is not the things that he acquired or read from books. Most of the things he knows as a forest monk, they tend to be from a personal practice, personal insights. And coming together like this, attending ceremony, it shows that we are all very much dedicated in some ways, having sacrificed our day to be here. Just like the Buddha said that, you know, the Dhamma can only be mature and ripen in our heart when the heart and mind is ready. When you have shown physically that you are very determined and very interested, it means that you are already contributing in cultivating that goodness within your heart. So in terms of cultivation and practice, it tends to fall under two simple categories. The first one is somebody who knows how to practice and tends to ignore it. And the second one is those who may not be so fortunate to realize the path of the practice. So when we think about practice, and when we want to try to cultivate our heart and mind, and we tend to rely on scriptures or teachings or advice from our teachers. Some people might be able to practice well, some people might not. That's just the way it is. But when we are practicing and trying to remind ourselves to be patient, be willing to practice. And Paul gave a simile of like somebody who's eating. When you're hungry, you have to go and find that food and you have to feed yourself. You have to continue feeding yourself until you're full. When you're full, you know you are full. You can't simply just be around and watch other people eat. Then you cannot be full that way. So by coming here or, you know, being interested in a practice, it means that you are walking on this path. It means that we are very keen. It means that we are quite diligent, which is a good thing. But listening alone or reading alone, these are not the only way of practicing. Often we read about, you know, how certain things are. Like, for example, you know, some people might go into details of describing how the weather could be, whether it's hot, whether it's cold. Words can only describe so much. The nitty-gritty part of the practice, if you want to really know how to, you know, if you want to know what the weather really like, you have to be in that country, you have to be there, you have to try to take on that feeling firsthand. The same goes with Dhamma, the Dhamma practice. The result is a direct practice from the direct practice. It's the practice of being able to focus on our body, our speech and our mind. When we are conscious, our consciousness is the essence of our practice. The heart and mind is the key focus. Whether we practice well, whether we want to practice, whether we are thinking well, whether we are, you know, talking with our right speech or not, it all comes down to whether our heart is well or not. If the heart is well, it means that often it tends to give rise to a lot of pleasant feelings. When the heart is pleasant, the heart is well, we tend to be able to practice well and do things in a way that is, you know, pleases other people, pleases oneself. So looking in terms of the practice, it's all about having the sati sampachanya, having awareness in the present moment. This is very important. Having this body, having this mind, we need to really nurture our body and mind. Put forth a lot of practice, and the more practice you put in, often the more positive energy you will receive in return. We tend to practice by reminding ourselves of the good qualities of the Buddha, you know, Putto, being the one who knows, being the one who's awakened and holy. These are not just words, you know, these are mental objects that can be brought to heart. By focusing our attention, you know, embrace it into our heart, a lot of goodness can arise from it. It's not just something that we can just simply read in the books, or hear about it. You know, the qualities of Putto, the quality of Dhammo, the quality of the Sanghas, it's actually not very far away. You know, it can happen right here, right now. The Buddha has already given a lot of advice and guidance into what to do. And so therefore, all we have to do is give us an opportunity to do something well for ourselves. And by being in a place like this, you are probably well aware that there are a lot of Sangha members here. You know, the Sangha can be of, you know, good examples to you on how to practice. You know, they are the ones who are still striving forward, especially those who are practicing well. You know, you see that if the Sangha are practicing well, practicing directly, practicing with insightfully and with integrity, you know, these are really truly worthy of following. When we look at the teaching, you know, the teaching is pretty much boundless and timeless. Obviously, the Buddha passed away some 2,500 years ago, but the teaching is still there. And it doesn't limit to just the Bhikkhu Sangha or the nuns. It could be relied on, related to by anybody, you know, whether you are a layman or laywoman. Because the more you practice, the more you are upholding, the more you are allowing your heart and mind to feel that much better. You know for yourself that when you're practicing well, the heart just feels that much lighter. It just means that the Dhamma, the practice, is not in the monastery, it's not in the house, it's not anywhere. It's where you are doing it. When you are mindful, when you are aware, especially in all postures, not just simply sitting or standing or walking, but throughout your mundane daily duties, you know, trying to be as well aware as possible, you know, having that clear comprehension. You know, when you have that full awareness, you know, you're constantly cultivating and developing yourself. Yeah, again, Longpo said, you know, it's like, you know, you're at the restaurant and watching somebody's eating. You're not going to get food that way. The only you're going to be well fed, well looked after and healthy, it means you have to really feed yourself. You have to really practice. Come back to the heart and mind again and again. Be very consistent. It doesn't mean that, you know, by being consistent, you're going to get a good result of the practice right away. Often it comes with being very patient. And some people might be able to achieve that result very quickly, very promptly. And some people, you know, like all of us here, we might be struggling a bit more. Try not to doubt about the way you're practicing. You know, try not to be discouraged by the path that you're walking on. I've noticed that all of you, having come here today, you know, you always requested precepts. It means that you already started off on the right foot. It means that your heart is well. You know, you have a very good intention, and every intention to purify and making sure the heart is well looked after. Now you already have enough compassion, a lot of compassion for oneself. So when you're practicing well, you know, it's timeless, it's apparent here and now, and it will spread and share to everybody that you're around. So by practicing well, whether you are getting any result or not, but simply trying to focus yourself, you're leading by examples. You're also giving other people an opportunity to look up at you as being a good role model. Some people, you know, when they come to a monastery, you know, they are very much keen in doing the ceremonial activities and requests for precepts. But those simple methods of requesting for precepts are not enough. Now, once you request it for your precepts, whether you have more virtue or not, it depends on how much you are taking on that practice. For your heart and mind to be pure through the practice of taking on your virtual practice, it means that you cannot be negligent in your practice. Like today, I've noticed that we had a little ceremony of having ordained a few more Sangha members. I'm very happy and very delighted that that the Sangha is continuing to grow. But obviously, the changing in the clothing or the robe that we just put on, that's simply external objects. Whether you're monks or nun, but if you're not practicing, then your heart is still the same. For your heart to be improving, for you to become a better person, for you to be a good monk or good nun, you need to really cultivate until your heart can overcome those pain and sufferings. Like a banana, Lumpo said, banana, start off young and then eventually you go green, and then later on it will be changes in color into more yellowish looking, and then you can eventually have a nice tasty banana when it's nicely brownish yellow. The same goes with our practice. He said, we started off raw, started off in somewhat tasteless, and eventually, but when we are keen, when we are diligent, slowly our practice would improve. Slowly by slowly, our practice would be much more pleasing. It's like the taste of the banana. The longer you leave it, the better the taste will be, the softer it will be. The same in our consciousness. Not to be so fearful in the things that you are doing. Trying to pick up that skillful means in your practice. Try not to be fearful, but be very diligent. The only way that the Buddha Sasana can really prosper is, if people are still practicing. Whether you are monks or nun, if you are practicing, you are part of that special jigsaw in allowing this greater picture to be well developed. But having spoken about practice, practice is not simply just sitting meditation. If you only focus your attention on only sitting, then he said it's like Jeto Samadhi. You are only trying to cultivating that samadhi, that concentration. And Longpo noticed that a lot of people are very keen in sitting meditation practice. And obviously when you're sitting, you're meditating, you get very peaceful. Like the Buddha said, there's no other happiness is greater than the peacefulness of the heart. But there's actually much more to simply just sitting and meditating. And there's so many hours of the day that we can be around and sit and meditate. And our body has been made in such a way that we are constantly comes in contact with the various senses, the ear, eye, nose, tongue. Through our eyes we see, through our ears we hear, through our nose we get to smell various odors, through our tongue we get to taste. So obviously we are constantly being impinged by the different senses. Once we have accumulated certain amount of strength in our samadhi, in our concentration, then that's the moment where we can be more mindful in our practice, trying to be aware of the like and dislike that arises, trying to be aware of the different craving, the craving of wanting to become or wanting to get rid of. This is the moments where we have to be very observative and very reflective in our practice. I've noticed that a lot of the people, they were trying to find certain situation or places where they can go and meditate, where it's really, really quiet. Nobody around, private woodland somewhere, very secluded, double, triple glazing doors and windows so that no sounds can be impinged on in my mind. Well, that's one way of the practice, obviously. But you need to practice in a way that you can be mindful throughout, without just simply trying to find that place of conduciveness. Because often we are in places where the environment may not always be so helpful. having traveled to the West, one of the questions that he often get asked was that, "Longpo, are you well? Are you happy? Is everything okay?" And Longpo said that the way that he responded to people with those kind of questions is that, you know, as a practitioner, we are always well. You know, there's no way that you're going to be unhappy. Because when you are practicing, you know, you are constantly looking after your mind. You're not hiding in the woods somewhere. You know, you're not trying to neglect one's practice. But by being mindful, you are always being mindful, always being aware, always being alert. So when we are sitting and meditating, you know, a lot of peacefulness can arise. But sitting and meditating alone is like, you know, putting a rock over some grass. It's not that the grass would disappear, the grass would still be there. Once the rocks are lifted, then the grass would sprout out again. So as part of the teaching, you probably are very much well aware that, you know, the Buddha always stated, you know, the importance of being mindful, being aware. When we are aware, you know, it means that we are nurturing, you know, we are looking after the Buddha Sasana. When we come in contact with the difficult situations in life, you know, those are probably one of those key situations and moments in life where we can really tell ourselves that, you know, how wonderful this would be. You know, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for me to practice. This is how we should look at problems in life. But for most people, when they get confronted by situations, they tend to feel that this is not the right place for me. This is not the monastery for me. I need to go somewhere else. I need to go and hide somewhere, practice somewhere else. So the truth of the matter is, when you're practicing, you know, yes, obviously you need the place that is conducive and well, but it's more importantly that you are very committed wholeheartedly. And when you're practicing, you have to start from within. Yes, when you're practicing, sounds can be a real burden, you know. Sometimes you may feel that it's so noisy here, I can't really practice. Very much so, that could be true. But then again, who is really disturbing you? Is the noise disturbing you, or are you disturbing the noise, for example? So it's good to remind ourselves that days and nights, you know, days and nights are relentlessly passing by, trying to be skillful, you know, with our time frame and practice until insight and knowledge arises. Rely on those sounds, you know, all those hindrances and obstacles in life to be the skillful means in giving us that insight. They don't have to be any kind of in-depth or enlightenment insights. It could just be a basic insight. Like the Buddha, for example, you know, when he was traveling, when he was teaching, he didn't have those secluded places. Now, he was always exposed to the various objects of sufferings. Because obviously suffering, as being one of the noble truth, that suffering is always there, pain is always there, difficulties is always there. But for those who is truly awakened, and for those who has Dhamma within their heart, when they come in, when they are being confronted with sufferings and pains and difficulties, insight and enlightenment could arise in their heart. So therefore, with the well-trained mind, the well-trained mind is the mind who is focused wholeheartedly and being mindful, being aware, being conscious. And the well-trained mind tends to be the mind that always look inwardly, looking after oneself, being mindful. That's why, but then again, there are those people, that's why you always hear in the newspapers and news of other places that people are harming themselves. When people are harming themselves, whether verbally or mentally, these are people who are lacking in the skillful means to practice. But for all of us here, you know, we are in a situation where we are much more fortunate than most people, because we have this ability to look after our heart and mind in a way that is well nurtured. But obviously, when we are practicing this, the mind always goes into different stages. Sometimes it understands, sometimes it complains, sometimes the heart is well, sometimes the heart is not. But being patient, being reflective, being observant, being very observant. And these are ways of being skillful. Whatever arises, trying to learn from it. And trying to improve, trying to be very, very willing, you know, to improve. Because the more you're willing to try, willing to practice, the more it can happen. It's like a chair. Now, if you see somebody sitting in a chair, for example, as long as you are sitting on a chair, you know that the chair is there. But the moment you get up from the chair, who knows, somebody might come and sit on that chair, it might get knocked over, something could easily happen. This very much goes with being mindful. You know, when you are mindful, you know everything that's happening, and you also know, you know, whether it's good, whether it's bad. You know whether you're thinking of the past, whether you're perforating about the future. Be mindful and remind yourself again that, you know, the past has already gone and the future has yet to come. And trying to be very present, you know, parent here and now, at this very moment. So, you know, as a good practitioner, you know, we tend to try to be somebody who is of little burdens as possible, because we have to rely on our practice to look after ourselves. You know, sit a lot, you know, walking jonggom, do that a lot, be very mindful, be aware. You know, when you do your activities and chores, you know, when you're at home, you know, trying to be aware. And this is just the main focus. Because the more you sit, the more you practice, the more peacefulness arises. But then again, just to emphasize the point that, you know, sitting alone is not enough. You need to be very much aware in our postures, be aware throughout the whole days. And the more you are aware, the more you can feel that you can let go of things. You can let go of the burdens, that disturbance feeling that arises in your heart. Be willing to accept and understand, you know, whether your mind is suffering or not. Because just remind yourself that suffering is part of the Noble Truth. Once you realize that you are suffering, it's as if you are reaching that first step of the practice. Be aware of the body, be aware of the mind. Because when we tend to think a lot in our daily life, when we think, when we are peripherating, that's when we tend to forget. Like during the ceremony today that you had with the ordinations, I'm sure that Thanachan Amaro has probably given you the basic instructions of how to conduct yourself. You know, like, as for monks, you know, when we ordain, Upajaya tends to go through the different stages of giving us the skillful means to look after ourselves. He always goes through the Gesa, Loma, Nakha, Danta, Dacho. He goes through the five basics understandings of, you know, reflecting on hair of the head, hair of the body, nail, teeth and skin. A lot of people, you know, receive this when they ordain, and often they tend to neglect it and then to go through their life forgetting that these are the key essentials to their practice. These very basic essentials are, you know, the necessity in making sure the heart and mind is well. You know, once the mind reflects on those simple practice, and the mind can be gathered in strength, and with that strength, the mind can overcome many disturbances and troubles. So it's good that we get to come here on a day like this. It's good that we pay importance to an important day. But as I was saying before, you know, it's not really the time, the place, or the day. It's when you are mindful. You know, you can be anywhere. It can be on any day. Dhamma arises all the time. The Dhamma is here now. The Dhamma is here in this very present moment. Whether you're sitting, walking, standing, whether you're seeing something, speaking to somebody, the Dhamma is right there, right ahead and right in front of you. Whether the Dhamma can arise in one's mind, you know, that depends on how much effort you're putting in. And obviously, you know, we all have our own spiritual qualities. For those who have maybe accumulated a lot more spiritual qualities in a past life than other, they may get an easier result or a quicker result. But for most of us, it's going to be through a lot of hard work, a lot of being patient, a lot of keeping up that skillful means. And eventually our barometers will be ripened. So for today, I'm very delighted again to see that, you know, there are so many people here who has a lot of faith, a lot of satta. And seeing that, you know, people have given up a lot to be here today, given up their time to come all the way down here, to travel here, to listen to this Dhamma talk. And most of all, to have been very keen in one's practice, to have been very keen in asking for the precept and be willing to take on the precepts. And lastly, be willing to taking on the Dhamma practice.